Why a parade became a threat. Commentary. Not long ago, a parade meant celebration. A display of uniforms, flags, and precision footwork was something to applaud, a visible reminder of order, tradition, and sacrifice. It stirred memory, not suspicion. But when the United States marked its 250th anniversary with a military parade, something else happened. Across the country, thousands poured into the streets not in tribute, but in protest. They held signs that read, "No Kings." Some chanted against tyranny. Others lit fires. It was not the event itself that changed. It was how it was seen. The same gesture, marching soldiers, national symbols, patriotic speeches, was read in two radically different ways, one as reverence, the other as threat. One half of the country saw honor. The other saw authoritarianism. The divide did not emerge overnight, nor did it arise by accident. Something more deliberate has been at work. For over a century, global powers have sought to shape not just what America does, but what America appears to be. During the Cold War, the Soviet Union framed the United States as a land of hypocrisy and decay. Today, the Chinese Communist Party has refined that tactic, applying it not just to the world stage, but to the minds of Americans themselves. And it is not done with missiles or tanks. It is done with stories. There is growing evidence, not speculation, that foreign powers have financed U.S.-based organizations that fuel division and unrest. A congressional inquiry recently revealed links between China-based billionaire Neville Roy Singham and activist groups operating under banners of social justice, but advancing narratives that echo CCP ideology. The FBI is now investigating whether foreign funding played a role in violent protests that swept across major U.S. cities. These efforts are not isolated. They are part of a larger strategy that has been unfolding quietly for years, one that thrives on confusion. To weaken a republic, it is no longer necessary to attack its borders. It is far more effective to fracture its sense of meaning, to make its people doubt their symbols, to turn pride into shame, to turn strength into something suspect. That is the power of narrative warfare. It operates without bullets. It spreads not through armies, but through hashtags, documentaries, school curriculums, and trending slogans. It invites a population to reject its past, mistrust its institutions, and ultimately, to doubt the legitimacy of its own existence. This is not to say all protest is foreign-influenced. Citizens in a free republic have the right and the duty to question power. But there is a difference between protest and programming, between dissent and disintegration. Global institutions, too, have played their role. While presenting themselves as neutral guardians of peace, bodies like the United Nations have repeatedly issued resolutions condemning U.S. policy, even as member states with abysmal human rights records go unchecked. These institutions grow more assertive when America grows uncertain. When the anchor of the free world wavers, the vacuum is quickly filled by unelected global actors. Meanwhile, defense contractors, the permanent shadow of American foreign policy, continue to profit from uncertainty. For them, endless tension is good business. Confusion, whether foreign or domestic, is a market opportunity. And so the conflict over the parade becomes more than a matter of opinion. It becomes a case study in narrative breakdown. Once, Americans might have disagreed about policy. Now, they no longer agree on what the country even represents. What once signified unity now signals division. The symbols remain. The meanings have been rewritten. A nation that cannot recognize its own reflection is easily led astray. What's needed now is not more outrage, but more clarity. A kind of intellectual sobriety, the willingness to ask, who benefits from this narrative? Who paid to shape it? And what would it take to see through it? Because while the parade was public, the battle over its meaning was not. That war was waged quietly, not on the ground, but in the mind. And until that war is recognized for what it is, it will continue. Not with weapons, but with confusion.